This morning's scripture reading is from the Old Testament. It's Micah chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. Micah was a prophet who lived around 700 years before Christ, at the same time as two other prophets, Isaiah and Hosea. In this passage, Micah pictures a courtroom where God is a judge who urges the people to remember how he has dealt with them and what they can do now to please him. This is a message full of hope. Let's read it. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundation of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam son of Beor answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calf a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with God? This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Our special guest this morning is Loane Robison, and here's a little bio about her. Loane came from Kansas to California to join a traveling drama ministry called the Covenant Players, and she was a part of that ministry for 40 years. During that time, she met her husband, John. He and Loane served in North America, Western Europe, and South Africa. In 1995, they returned to California and worked in the Covenant Players World Headquarters. While in Oxnard, St. Paul's became their church home, and it was there that she became active with the United Methodist Women. About 12 years ago, they felt God calling them in new directions. John entered the pulpit ministry as a local pastor, first in Ojai and now in Ventura at College UMC. Loane became a certified spiritual director through Spiritual Directors International and explored the realms of contemplation and spiritual discernment. In addition to being a pastor's wife, she works full-time at St. Paul's in Oxnard as the administrative assistant and also participates with Spirit Loving Dance, a liturgical dance group based in Ojai. Two of her newer endeavors include Toastmasters and painting, and during the last term, she served as a North District UMW president. Please give a warm welcome to Loane Robison.
Reverberates against the walls. This court is now in session. Who's on trial? Let's go back a few chapters in the book of Micah. Chapter 4 is a glorious promise of God's restoration of the people and how they will be the light of the world. There is a beautiful promise of the nations streaming up to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. A well-known quote, "Come, let us go up to the mountains of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths." The fifth chapter of Micah is beautiful. It contains prophecy that Bethlehem would be the birthplace of the Messiah. Micah 5:2 is the answer the scribes of the court of Herod the Great that they gave to the Magi who were looking for the new king of Israel. The last half of the chapter talks about God using the remnants of Israel dispersed in foreign lands coming back together to rebuild the glory of Israel. Those were God's expectations. Micah 4 and 5, God shows the wonderful things that have been done and will be done for them, and the wonderful things they will do for the world. And what happens? They complain. The words of Micah could easily be translated to the here and now, to me and to you. We have come from an intense 2 months of having opportunity to reflect on our blessings, starting with Thanksgiving, the bounty of what has been bestowed on us, not just the bounty of an incredibly rich land, but the bounty of family and friends and the freedom to worship as we want. Advent, the opportunity to reflect on the anticipated coming of the Messiah, both in the historical and future context. Of all times of the church year, Advent is when we are most called upon to recognize our blessings. Christmas, the celebration of God sending the Messiah to break the bonds of death. Epiphany, the celebration of gifts given and received. Martin Luther King Day, recognizing someone who put his life on the line doing justice. The inaugural, regardless of any political leanings, it is one of the unique aspects of the founding of this country and its principles. The bounty is overflowing. And what are we doing? What are we hearing? Complaints. God asks the question, what do you have to complain about? Chapter 6 begins with God. God bringing a court case against the people of Israel. The physical world is called upon to be the jury. The mountains, the rivers, the plains. The created world are the ones to pass judgment on a stiff-necked and ungrateful people. The creator of time itself, being F. Lee Bailey, Johnny Cochran, and Erwin Chemerinsky all rolled into one. The people then, like us today, have no call to say to God, "What have you done for us lately?" The people then, like us today, have no cause to say, "Well, we didn't know we'd get into trouble. What does God expect?" Micah says, in essence, God already told you. You were told a long time ago. This is nothing new, but you need to learn it, own it, to write it on your hearts. You know what God requires of you. You have been told what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. I suspect most of our complaints would dissipate in the face of our transacting God's expectations. God expects us to be organic with her, to put into perspective our relationship with one another, and to be proactive in taking responsibility. In other words, to be whole with God and with each other. To do justice. It's not complicated. Do justice. Do is an action verb. Don't love justice. Don't advocate justice. Don't petition for justice. Do justice. Act. Take risky action. Take unpleasant stances. Move outside your comfort zone and risk losing, because God alone matters more. Justice. To do justice means putting ourselves in front of anyone who would be denied justice by someone else. If you wrote on the top of a piece of paper for yourself, "I am doing justice when," what would you write? What would it look like? What would it demand? Want to get involved in justice issues but don't know where to start? Well, Response Magazine, the United Methodist Women's Mission Magazine, in this December issue, lists the 2017 reading books. Under social action category, there are topics like the new Jim Crow, fracking, wage theft, just to name a few. The list goes on. Now, these small books are not for the faint-hearted. After reading, it feels mentally and spiritually like having galloped across the prairie on the backside of a porcupine. You get poked and prodded in uncomfortable places. Next, love kindness. Most of the time when this phrase is used in the Bible, it refers to God in relationship to us. Here, God is expecting us to love kindness in our relationship with one another. To love kindness is not a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's going to cost in some way. This is harder. How is it going to cost you to love kindness? Bishop Hagia says that love is always sacrificial. Is that feasible? Dictionary.com defines kindness as benevolence, humanity, generosity, charity, sympathy, compassion, tenderness. Sounds a little bit more like Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe loving kindness is a spiritual discipline. Loving kindness speaks to the very heart of our spiritual relationships. It is applicable in how we relate to ourselves, our spouse, our children, our brothers and sisters in this or any church. The sales clerk, the guy on the corner. It's how we interact with them. Now, if you go online and Google alternative words to the Beatitudes, you'll find some interesting phraseologies, workings of it. One I read said, "Blessed are those who attacked me mercilessly, for they probably contributed more to my spiritual growth than anyone else." Loving kindness helps us to find that radiant, joyful heart within. To love kindness is to openly recognize that we should love the many opportunities God gives to us to live out kindness in our daily lives. Then we come to walk humbly with your Lord. Walk is another action verb, and it means continually walking, not simply a moment in time of humility with God, not a one-off experience of abasement at the foot of the cross. It means recognizing our humbleness before God as we walk with her through our entire lives. That's right. We don't complete this requirement, well, all of them actually, at any point this side of eternity. But let's look a little deeper at humble. As a verb, it means to make meek. Here is a great word. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Well, I saw a bumper sticker once that said, "The meek are contesting the will." Seriously, though, meek is a noble word. Moses was called the meekest man on earth, And he certainly was not lacking in assertiveness. Moses stood up to the Pharaoh, dealt with the rebellious Israelites, and spent 40 long years doing one of the toughest jobs in history. The Greek word for meek means perfectly balanced, and it always refers to someone who has an equal balance between too much and too little, too hot and too cold, too aggressive and too timid. In other words, someone who is always in control of themselves, but doesn't knuckle under and doesn't fly off the handle either. Someone who would not be provoked by injustice to themselves, but would by injustice to someone else. Humble is an adjective meaning modest, not arrogant or proud. Having a proper feeling of insignificance. We're talking about us and God, remember, and it means being courteously respectful. Now, my husband is about 6 inches taller than me. He has a long stride, and I get easily diverted when I'm walking. He's like a soldier marching to some goal. Well, it's very hard for us to walk in sync with each other, even after 40-some years, without making a deliberate effort. Oh, but it feels so good when we do. Stride for stride, fingers intertwined. It opens the space for both verbal and nonverbal communication. He slows down a little while I walk more deliberately, being in sync. That's what God expects of us, to walk in sync, to learn from and about, to know who God is, to walk humbly with your Lord. What does God expect? These three principles God lays on us to sum up the whole of our living. To do justice refers to how we interact with society. Justice is a societal issue because it always refers to the ways the differing members of society achieve or are denied justice. This issue has not changed. There are those who are denied privileges enjoyed by some people simply because they have been put into the category of other. They are other colored, other gendered, other oriented. They come from another country. They practice a different faith. They eat different foods. They wear different clothes. It's all a societal issue. God said, do justice. And yep, there's not a time limit. Doing justice is about the whole of society and our action in it. Loving kindness is one-on-one. It is me and you. It is you and the person next to you in the pew. It is you and the sales clerk or the person on the road. Jesus told us to be those who are faithful in little things will be faithful in big things. We must be vessels of kindness to an individual before we can embrace the wholeness of God in our relationship. Walking humbly with your God is about our relationship with God. You and God, God and you. We are called to live differently than the rest of the world. These three principles. That's what God expects. Amen.